Well, you're listening to CFRU 93.3 at the University of Guelph, and continue this afternoon with special programming for the Prisoners Justice Day. So we're going to talk today and this afternoon about the Cuban Five. We're going to start with a song by Silvio Rodriguez, a Cuban songwriter. The name of the song is Summary of News, Resumen de Noticias.
He estado al alcance de todos los bolsillos, porque no cuesta nada mirarse para adentro. He estado al alcance de todas las manos que han querido tocar mi mano amigamente. Pero pobre de mí, no he estado con los presos de su propia cabeza acomodada. No he estado en los que ríen con solo media risa, los delimitadores de las primaveras. No he estado en los archivos ni en las papelerías, y se me archiva en copias y no en originales. No he estado en los mercados grandes de la palabra, pero he dicho lo mío a tiempo y sonriente. No he estado enumerando las manchas en el sol, pues sé que en una sola mancha cabe el mundo. He procurado ser un gran mortificado, para si mortifico no vayan a acusarme. Aunque se dice que me sobran enemigos, todo el mundo me escucha, bien quedo cuando canto. Yo he preferido hablar de cosas imposibles, porque de lo posible se sabe demasiado. He preferido el polvo así, sencillamente, pues la palabra amor aún me suena hueco. He preferido un golpe así, de vez en cuando, porque la inmunidad me carcome los huesos. Agradezco la participación de todos los que colaboraron con esta melodía. Se debe subrayar la importante tarea de los perseguidores de cualquier nacimiento. Si alguien que me escucha se viera retratado, sepa si quisiese con ese destino. Cualquier reclamación que sea sin membretes. Buenas noches, amigos y enemigos.
Five Cubans were collected information on possible attacks on their land.
Well, they were gathering information of the activities of the right-wing terrorist Cuban exile groups who operate freely in southern Florida, who have carried out many violent attacks against Cuba and Cuban targets in the last 40 years since the Cuban Revolution, because they were trying to assist the Cuban government in its efforts to protect its people from any further violent attacks. Those have been stepped up recently, particularly during the 1990s, after the fall of the Soviet bloc, when these terrorist groups, who are protected and allowed to operate freely in the United States, had hoped that Cuba would fall along with all the other countries that did. And when they saw that it wasn't going to do that, and it was going to maintain its independent course, further attacks were organized to try to encourage that counter-revolutionary process, including attacks on tourist resorts. In fact, there were bombs planted in hotels around Havana, one of which in 1997 actually resulted in the death of a Canadian visitor. So those were the kind of things that the Cuban government wanted to try to prevent so that they wouldn't have further threat of violence against the Cuban people from these terrorist groups. And these five men were involved in gathering information about the activities of those groups to see if they could possibly forewarn the defense forces in Cuba against further attacks, either by having bombs planted like were done, or airplane overflights coming from southern Florida, which is only 90 miles away from the Cuban mainland. So that was their purpose. It was to protect their fellow Cubans from further violent attacks by warning the Cuban government in any way they could about these activities.
What is the Canadian government position in this case?
People have appealed to the Canadian government to communicate with the American government for the release of these prisoners, but they have done nothing in that direction. As far as I know, they've just been silent on that question. They've treated it as an internal legal matter of the United States and said nothing. Although they have turned around and followed the propaganda of the U.S. government against prisoners who were tried and convicted on completely different kinds of charges in Cuba for trying to destabilize the Cuban government. You probably heard about that last year, with the so-called journalists who were tried and convicted for the activities funded by the U.S. government in trying to destabilize and then cause the collapse of the Cuban government. The Canadian government did make a comment on that, alleging that these were human rights violations against them. But that's a whole other story. And if you look into the actual details of that situation, there's so much information available to show how the people who were tried and convicted of these things were just straightforward paid agents with money coming from the U.S. interest section in Havana and were personally directed by the personnel there. So in terms of the Canadian government's stand, they haven't done anything, to my knowledge, on the question of the five Cubans who were imprisoned in the U.S., but they've pretty much followed the propaganda campaign of the U.S. against the Cuban government.
Esta canción, tómenla como un homenaje a Alberto Cortés. Se llama Los Americanos. Nacen ancianos y van enniñeciendo a través de la vida los americanos y nacen convencidos que no hay nadie en el mundo que sea más importante que los americanos. Napoleón para ellos fue un señor italiano que organizó la cosa sin americanos. Y están más que seguros que no hubiera perdido Waterloo con la ayuda de los americanos. Si conocen historia, no es por haber leído.
Can you be imprisoned in the United States for opposing terrorism? Yes, if you oppose terrorism in Miami. The United States government has imprisoned the very men who were working to save Cuban and American lives from terrorist organizations that operate in Miami.
Anti-Cuba terrorism has caused the death of almost 3,500 Cubans in low-intensity warfare against the island, a war unknown to most Americans outside of Florida and the world.
Literally, dozens of bombings and assassinations have been perpetrated in Miami, other U.S. cities, and Havana by the anti-Cuba terrorist groups. Yet, terrorists like Orlando Bosch, who walks the streets of Miami a free man, are protected by U.S. officials all the way up to the White House. Quote,
now, the Bush administration coddles one of the hemisphere's most notorious terrorists, Orlando Bosch, and for what reason? The only one evident is current favor in South Florida, New York Times, July 20, 1990.
Unquote. After decades of protests to the U.S. government, which did nothing, Cuba dispatched a group of men to Miami to observe, monitor, and report on the workings of the terrorist network. The objective, to protect innocent lives in Cuba and the United States.
The men, now known as the Cuban Five, collected evidence of terrorist plots, which was then presented to the FBI on June 17, 1998. A historic meeting was held in Havana. There, Cuban officials implore U.S. law enforcement officials to act on evidence presented in order to end the cycle of terror.
Instead of arresting the terrorists, the FBI rounded up the Cuban Five, the very people who were warning about the terrorist plans. Fernando Gonzalez, René Gonzalez, Antonio Guerrero, Gerardo Hernandez, and Ramon Labagnino were arrested on September 12, 1998 and placed in solitary confinement for 17 months.
They were charged with failure to disclose themselves as a foreign agents to several counts of conspiracy. The Cuban Five were denied the right to an unbiased jury trial after the judge turned down their motions for a change of venue out of Miami.
The jury was intimidated, witnesses were bullied by the prosecution, and defense lawyers were denied access to evidence on the spurious grounds that the information was classified. Even high-ranking officials of the FBI and the U.S. Southern Command testified that the Five did nothing to compromise the national security of the United States. After a 7-month trial, generating 14,000 transcript pages to consider, the Miami jury convicted on all counts without asking one question of the court in deliberations.
The swift verdict was not the result of a careful analysis of the facts presented at trial. Rather, the convictions were inevitable in a trial held in Miami, the only city in the U.S. so deeply saturated with anti-Cuban prejudice. The Cuban Five were sentenced to 4 life terms and 75 years collectively.
5 Cuban men charged with acting as agents of their government faced trial in Miami, Florida, the only city in the U.S. so hostile towards Cuba that Cuban athletes are not permitted to perform there, Cuban art cannot be exhibited, and Cuban films cannot be shown. Yet the U.S. attorney for Miami, who opposed moving the Cuban Five's trial out of Miami, acknowledged 1 year later that it was impossible for anyone viewed as favorable to Cuba to receive a fair trial in Miami.
Justice demands a new trial.
What you can do to help. For details on the legal case, their struggle for justice, and the campaign to free them, contact the National Committee to Free the Cuban Five, 2489 Mission Street, Room 24, San Francisco, California, 94110, USA, 415-821-7575.
Or visit www.freethefive.org. Well, now continuing with this special day of programming, we're going to listen who are these Cuban Five.
Ramon Labagnino Salazar was born on June 9, 1963, in the municipality of Marianao, Havana, to Nereda Salazar Verduy, now deceased, and Ormes Labagnino Castillo. He attended primary school in La Lisa municipality, where his responsibilities included taking charge of the classroom, and supervising younger students. Between 1973 and 1976, he continued his secondary studies at the Osvaldo Rafael Sanchez Junior High School in La Lisa, where he also had responsibilities such as supervising sports and recreation periods. From 1976 to 1979, he attended the high school in Maranhão Municipality, where he earned several distinctions, including diplomas for being an outstanding and advanced student. He also began to develop an active political life. Between 1980 and 1986, he completed his academic education at the University of Havana, majoring in economics and graduating with honors. He went to the United States at the beginning of the 90s, charged with an important and risk-filled task of penetrating counter-revolutionary groups in Miami, which, with support from Washington, had increased their terrorist and destabilization activities against Cuba. Up until the moment of his detention in Florida, he earned his living delivering medicines to different pharmacies in Florida and selling shoes. Ramon married Elizabeth Palmero Casado, an English language and literature graduate employed by the Foreign Affairs Ministry in June 1990. They have two daughters, Laura Labanino Palmero, 8, and Lisbeth Labanino Palmero, 4. He has a 13-year-old daughter, Ailee Labanino Cardosa, from a previous marriage. Ramon was charged with general conspiracy and conspiracy to commit espionage. He was charged with having monitored the MacDill Air Force Base near Tampa and subsequently working in the oversight of Cuban agents intending to penetrate the military installations of the Boca Chica Naval Air Station in the Keys and the U.S. Southern Command in Miami. He was sentenced to life plus 8 years. Ramon Labanino Salazar, along with Gerardo Hernandez Nodelo, Fernando González Llort, René González, and Antonio Guerrero, are the 5 Cuban anti-terrorist fighters who have been sentenced to long-term imprisonment for defending their people and their nation against Miami's terrorist groups supported by the State Department and the current Bush administration. René González was born in Chicago on August 13, 1956. He attended school in Cuba and wanted to become a pilot since his youth. Due to his decisions to respond to revolutionary developments at home and abroad, he had to postpone his life aspirations several times. The first time was as a cadet of the Union of Young Communists. González volunteered to go to the countryside to be part of a teaching contingent. Soon after he was called for military service, he enrolled involuntarily, giving up his U.S. citizenship. After completing military service with high grades as a tank driver, González was released to pursue his goal to attend flight school and become a certified pilot. But again, world events intervened. On his way to flight school, González, upon learning that his tank unit was on its way to join the Cuba Internationalist Mission fighting in Angola against an invasion by the racist South African army, decided to rejoin his comrades. The Cuban revolutionary fighter finally completed his training as a pilot after his return from Angola and worked for some time as a flight instructor. Already a longtime member of the Union of Young Communists, he was taken into membership in the Cuban Communist Party in 1990. He soon accepted an assignment to go to the United States for his next mission in defense of the revolution, as was the case with the 4 other Cuban revolutionaries. No one in González's family knew why he had moved to the United States, but his brother Roberto said he thought René had died when his plane never came back, because he couldn't believe he had left for the United States. In his statement at his sentencing hearing on December 14, 2001, González explained the reason the 5 were in Florida. Quote, "The whole issue of Cuban agents has a very simple solution. Leave Cuba alone. Do your job. Respect the sovereignty of the Cuban people. I would gladly say goodbye to every last spy who returns to the island. We have better things to do there, all of them a lot more constructive than watching the criminals who freely walk the streets of Miami." Unquote. Fernando González Llort, born in the city of Havana on August 18, 1963, and graduated as licenciado, which is a Cuban university degree. Gerardo Hernandez Nodelo, born in the city of Havana on June 4, 1965. and he graduated in 1989 as Licenciado, which is a Cuban university degree, of International Political Relations from the Higher Institute of International Relations at the Ministry of Foreign Affairs. Gerardo is a caricaturist and has published his drawings in the Cuban press and displayed them in exhibitions in various galleries. A book containing his works will be published soon. Gerardo was unjustly sentenced to 2 life terms plus 15 years. He was charged with conspiracy to commit crimes against the United States, which carries a maximum 5-year term, conspiracy to commit espionage, which carries a maximum life term, conspiracy to commit murder, which carries a maximum life term, obtaining and using false identification, which carries a maximum 5-year term with an additional 5 for illegal use of the same, conspiracy to act as an unregistered foreign agent, which carries a maximum 10-year term.
Regresaré y le diré a la vida: he vuelto para ser tu confidente. De norte a sur le entregaré a la gente la parte del amor en mí escondida. Regaré la alegría desmedida de quien sabe reír humildemente. De este a oeste levantaré la frente con la bondad de siempre prometida. Por donde pasó el viento crudo y fuerte, iré a buscar las hojas del camino y agruparé sus sueños de tal suerte que no puedan volar en torbellino. Cantaré sus canciones al destino y con mi voz haré temblar la muerte. Por donde paso el viento crudo y fuerte, iré a buscar las hojas del camino. Regaré la alegría desmedida de quien sabe reír humildemente. De este a oeste levantaré la frente con la bondad de siempre prometida. Por donde pasó el viento crudo y fuerte, iré a buscar las hojas del camino y agruparé sus sueños de tal suerte que no puedan volar en torbellino. Cantaré sus canciones al destino y con mi voz haré temblar la muerte. Por donde paso el viento crudo y fuerte, iré a buscar las hojas del camino.
Well, that was a song dedicated to Free the Five called Regresaré. I will be back. This was written by different singers and writers from Cuba.